brethren, here we are. Here we are. You know the old saying, wherever you go, there you are. It's part of the law of direction. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, has an emphasis on the law of direction. I have a friend who went through AA and has struggled with that at times, told me about this. Simply put, the law of direction says the direction in which you're headed is the direction in which you're going to end up. Kind of a simple statement, isn't it? The direction in which you're headed is the direction in which you're going to end up. What direction are we headed in? I'm assuming, and I'm sure that's a question that from time to time we ask ourselves. Maybe we ask ourselves that question over the last month or so, leading up to and in preparing for the Passover. Maybe we ask ourselves that question. Again, simply put, the direction which we're headed is the direction in which we're going to end up. These spring holy days have a lot to do with setting direction, with setting our direction. You know, in preparation leading up to the Passover and now the days of unleavened bread and keeping of the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, they set the direction. These spring holy days set the direction. The direction to Pentecost, when we picture the receiving of the Holy Spirit and picture us as first fruits, the direction to the return of Jesus Christ at the Feast of Trumpets, the direction to the binding of Satan at the Day of Atonement, to the direction of the millennium, pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, and the direction of the last great day, and ultimately the kingdom of God. These spring holy days, the direction is set here today. The direction that we're going to head in is set during the spring holy days, isn't it? Right now, during the spring holy days, during today, at this first day of unleavened bread. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. I do this for two reasons. One is we're always told that there shouldn't be a holy day when we don't turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Number two, we have a definitive and specific point to make here. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." This is a set aside convocation, set aside meeting. As we said earlier, not just a day. It's not just the first day of unleavened bread. It is a special day, a day that is set aside specifically this day. These are my feasts. And we emphasize that when we read this, because these are not Moses' feasts or, you know, our feast day. Sometimes we refer to them as that. It's our feast day or, you know, your feast day next week. These are God's feasts, aren't they? Verse 4 gets specific into this festival. Now, of course, verse 3 has to do with the weekly Sabbath. But verse 4 says, these are the feasts of the Lord. These are God's feasts. Holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. This year, it's the 26th of March. These are my feasts. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6 says, "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation." That's the third time that we've read this word, these two words, holy convocation. "You shall do no customary work in it, but you shall offer an offering of fire made to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it," or it is not just a normal day. "You shall do no customary work on it." So here we see in these four verses, verses 1 and 2, of course, kind of setting that up, but then in verses 4 through 8, we see the commandment to be here today on this first day of unleavened bread. Not optional. It's not optional for us whether or not we keep this day. It is certainly optional whether or not we choose to obey. But it is not optional for us in terms of deciding whether we need to or not. It is a command that God gives us that we're to be here on the 15th day of the same month, as we read there in verse 6. So we observed, we heard in the sermonette time, the Passover. I'm sure that wherever you were, I know in the Youngstown area, we had a wonderful Passover evening. But we observed that it's a very special evening for us, isn't it? And a solemn evening for us. And we just observed that and celebrated that two nights ago, where we had that very solemn occasion. And we don't need to necessarily, again, Mr. Guy went over that somewhat in the sermonette. I want to focus on verse 6 for a moment. Verse 6 says, "On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread." Now here we see somewhat of a shift of emphasis, don't we? A little shift of emphasis here, a little shift of focus. You know, over the last 4, 6, 8 weeks, we have been focusing on and talking about what? Putting leaven out. I don't know about you, but you know, as I sit here and think about it, you know, how we kind of decide to unleaven our homes. Or, you know, the last thing usually is what? Our cars. I don't know if you're like that or not. We seem to be. It seems like every year our cars come down to the last day or two. And when we started de-leavening a month or so ago, it's the room farthest away from the kitchen. Is that what you do? We start with our bedroom because we figure that that's the easiest place not to bring leavening back in. And that we do, we started furthest from the kitchen because the kitchen is also one of the last things we do because that's where we eat, of course. So we've been talking about, for the last 4, 6, 8 weeks, we've had messages on the subject for the last several months. And most of them have been focusing on what? Putting things out. Putting out the leaven. And we know, of course, that it pictures sin, and so we're looking at trying to get the leaven put out of our lives. Here in verse 6, we see a different emphasis, don't we? Verse 6 says that for 7 days, at the end of it there, you must put unleavened bread in. Put unleavened bread in. In fact, you know, as we look at this, it there's nothing here in this verse at all about, or in this section of scriptures. Leviticus 23 has no mention of putting anything out. There's no mention of putting leaven out. It just mentions in verse 6, of course we go through and we read that a holy convocation is associated with it. But there's no mention here of putting anything out. There's only mention in verse 6 of putting unleavened bread in. Because it says, on the 15th day of the first month, this day. You know, we come to this day, the 15th day of the first month, and we are to put in, as it says in verse 6, we're to keep this feast, the same month as the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So unleavened bread must be put in. So just as we, when we put the leavening out, when we put unleavened bread in, we need to think about that. We need to reflect on that. You know, when we de-leaven our homes, we're always encouraged to be thinking about what we're doing. It's not just a physical process of cleaning leaven out of our homes. It's also a spiritual process of cleaning leaven out of our lives. And so we think about that, don't we? When we take that vacuum cleaner and we try to get all those nooks and crannies, we think about the fact that we need to do that in our lives. We need to get that leaven out of the nooks and crannies of our lives. We have a definitive instruction in 1 Corinthians 11 that we're to examine ourselves. And we think about those things and we focus on those things. Wouldn't it be appropriate to also do the same thing when we put leaven in? When we take that leaven, when we take and eat a little bit of that bread every day. You know, and we don't need to cover that subject necessarily, but, you know, we should try to eat a little unleavened bread every day to try and put righteousness and think about righteousness. And we need to reflect on that and think on that. The question that I want to ask us today is, do we have an unleavened mind? Is our mind unleavened? In fact, that's the title of the message, is The Unleavened Mind. Because when we put unleavened bread, when we eat bread this week, we eat that, you know, flat bread. Mr. Myers always says we're label readers and flat bread eaters. You know, and when we eat that flat bread, that we think about what we're eating, think about what we're doing, that we maybe reflect on the fact that we need to make sure that we have and that we are not only eating unleavened bread, but that we are unleavened and that our minds are unleavened. As it says in verse 6 there, we must eat unleavened bread in the same way we are to have an unleavened mind. A mind that has been made new by God's Holy Spirit. That's what we need to have. We need to have a mind that has been made new by God's Holy Spirit. And so when we eat unleavened bread, we should reflect on what we're doing and think about it and give it thought. You know, and think about, does my mind reflecting this? Ask yourself that question. When I eat and take a little bit of that unleavened bread, is my mind reflecting this? Is my thinking reflecting this? Or does sin? Do sinful thoughts still very easily enter our minds? We might ask ourselves that question. Do sinful thoughts still very easily enter our minds? Or do we have an unleavened mind? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Second Corinthians 10, verse 1. Says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am lowly among you, being absent and bold toward you, Verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, do we walk according to the flesh? For though we walk in the flesh, so yes, in a physical way, we all came here, we're fleshly, we pinch ourselves, we hurt, we walked in the door fleshly. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So our battle really is spiritual, isn't it? The battle is spiritual. The war for our minds, the competition for our mind is spiritual. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, as the margin there says, fleshly. They're not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Strongholds would be anything that we rely on. What do we rely on? What do you rely on? Because what we rely on tends to be what's on our mind. It tends to be what we think about. It tends to be what we rely on. Do we rely on ourselves? Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we catch ourselves, or we maybe do too much of relying on ourselves. If we do, we probably think about ourselves a lot if we're self-reliant. If we rely on ourselves, we need to heed Christ's example and think of others. That's what we need to do. We need to heed Christ's example and think of others. Verse 5, I always think is a very tall order for us. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we need to make sure that we keep the first commandment in mind. Probably one of the more broken commandments of all is setting something else and putting something else in front of God. In many ways that we probably don't even think about. You know, that we, some days it may be sleep in the morning, because we maybe didn't go to bed early enough at night, or for whatever reason. That we don't get up in time to properly pray and study. That ever happened to you? It probably does. It certainly has happened to me. I try to take steps to correct that. I'm sure all of us do. But someday it may be sleep that we put in front of God, so that we don't get up and pray and study as we should, or, you know, because we've got a schedule to keep and we've got to be at our place of business or work at a certain time. All kind of things that can get in the way of putting God first. So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Not a lot of wiggle room, not as best as you can, or some of your thoughts, or make sure you have the appropriate amount of thoughts, or 10% of your thoughts. Every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ. Now that's a tall order, but Paul said here, we need to capture our thoughts. Didn't he? That we need to capture our thoughts. We need to make sure that our mind is unleavened. That we have an unleavened mind. That's a hard thing to do when we think about it. We work on that, to bring every thought, to have every thought captured to the obedience of Christ. Now that doesn't necessarily, you know, mean that we sit and just think about Scripture all day. The obedience of Christ may be other things, But it can't be leavening. It can't be sinful. The thought process cannot be sinful. It has to be unleavened. Our thinking has to become unleavened. That's what we need our minds to do. That we bring every thought into captivity. That we capture our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. Luke 12 verse 29 says, "Do not seek what you shall eat or what you should drink." Don't worry about these things. This is a correlation scripture, Luke's account of what we might normally read in Matthew chapter 6. Do not, Christ said here, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. We're not to have an anxious mind. This in the Greek is from the Greek word anxious, is from metorizo. I don't know how to pronounce that correctly. I'm not sure that's that important. You can look it up. But it means to draw or pull or take in different directions. Draw or pull or take in different directions. Or to distract. Are our minds distracted? Are our minds easily distracted? You know, there are a lot of things to distract our minds, aren't there? There are a lot of things that we can get our minds on, that get our minds thinking, that cognitive thinking process that sometimes we read or talk about, that chain of thinking, that one thought leading to another thought. And those thoughts can either be captured within the obedience of Christ, they can be unleavened, or they can be leavened. They can be sinful thoughts, that one thought can lead to another thought. Our minds are easily distracted. So this anxiety, this anxious mind means, you know, a tearing of the mind. The English word there for anxiety means to be apprehensive or worried. Christ said we are not to have that kind of a mind. Our minds are not to be distracted, are not to be leavened. We're to have an unleavened mind. An unleavened mind is not distracted with sinful thought. It brings our thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And we do have a lot of distraction. And there is a lot of confusion. You know, it's consubstantiation or transubstantiation. I wrote it differently than he'd pronounced it. But it's confusing, isn't it? I was watching a news program a week or so ago, and I listened to a commentary, and they had a couple of gentlemen on that were discussing the issue of evil in the world and where it comes from. And they had a rabbi that had written a book, and they had a professor from Catholic University on discussing this subject of where evil comes from. And they were on there. It was probably a 5-8 minute session that they were on there. I could have answered their question in 30 seconds. But they talked about things, and they talked about the one gentleman said that, you know, you're born with good and evil in you, and then it kind of battles within you, and they had no clue. And it was a mess, and it was confusing. And that's where the world is. Now, they had a little bit of truth with it. There was some tree of the knowledge of good and evil with it. There was some truth with it. But in overall sense, it was a mess. And at the end of it, the commentator said, well, this has been a fascinating discussion. And I thought, no, it wasn't. It was a mess. They had no clue. You know, they'd never talked about the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, things that that just come natural to us. I looked over at Beth and I said, these kind of conversations make me so thankful that we understand the truth. Because they were just totally confused about where evil comes from. They were trying to deal with it in a fleshly, carnal way. They were trying to deal with it in that way, and you can't. You can't deal with it in that way. So their discussion was a mess. Psalm 119. Our minds are not to be distracted. They're not to be confused. They're to be unleavened. We're to have an unleavened mind. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 27. I'm sorry, 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Here's what our mind is to be on. Psalm 119, verse 97, a song that we sing. Oh, how love I thy law, David said. We read earlier where Paul had told us, or we're going to read about Paul in a minute, I'm sorry, what Paul had told us. But it says, here David said, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. That's what our mind is to be on, isn't it? We're going to see that more and more as we go through some additional scriptures. That's what our mind is to be on. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day rather. You, verse 98, through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, not because, you know, we're so smart, isn't it? Or we're more brilliant than others, those friends and neighbors who are not here with us, not because we're more brilliant, but as David said, for your testimonies, because of God's testimonies, because of what God is teaching us. Because your testimonies are my meditation. That's what we need. What we need to be thinking on and about, isn't it? You know, do we have a love and an understanding for the Word of God? Do we have a love for that? If we do, our minds will be unleavened. If we have a love for God's Word and the understanding of God's Word, our minds will be unleavened. Romans chapter 8, back to the New Testament, the book of Romans chapter 8. Very stern warning here in Romans chapter 8. In verse 7, scripture that many of us have memorized and we've read many times, and probably realized that when we started the message talking about an unleavened mind, talking about our thinking process, that we would eventually get to Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, which says, but the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the natural mind. Think about that. The fleshly mind, the natural mind. The normal mind, that the natural mind, the fleshly mind that we had before conversion. This conflict that we sometimes have between carnality and conversion. The normal mind is enmity, is hostile, is an enemy. So what that word means. Enmity, hostile, or enmity against God. That's why our friends and neighbors aren't here. It's not their fault, really. They haven't been called. As we said earlier, there is a someday for them. And we're involved in helping to make sure that they have an opportunity to get that message. So the natural mind, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind is enmity, hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. Natural mind, our natural mind. Jeremiah 17:9, I think it is. The natural mind is not unleavened, is it? We go back to prior to conversion, Genesis 6:5. You can be going there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. If we go back to pre-conversion days for ourselves, days that we wouldn't have been here either. We can see that our minds, I can tell you very plainly and very clearly that my mind was not unleavened. It was not unleavened. I didn't capture those thoughts, and it's something that, you know, we all still struggle with from time to time, to capture our thoughts and to make sure that our minds are unleavened. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth." I think he can pretty much see that today as well, can't he? That you know, as it was in the days of Noah, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That coincides with Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. That's the carnal fleshly mind. That there's only the thinking is evil, only evil continually. We want to know why there's evil in the world, because of the principality of the power of the air influencing the thinking process. And the thoughts are only evil continually. There are a lot of evil thoughts and a lot of evil deeds done as a result of that. The margin there says continually, for continually says all the day. Our thoughts are only evil all the day. Now we just read in Psalms that we're to do what? We're to meditate on God's law all the day. David said, I meditate on your law all the day. And we're to do that, and that keeps our mind unleavened. If we meditate and think on those things and make sure that we capture our thought. But this is the battle. We're to have a different kind of mind. We're not to have this mind that only thinks evil all the day. We're to have a mind that is selflessness instead of selfishness. That's to be our mind. That's what our mind is to be. A mind that is selflessness instead of selfishness. A mind that is turned on by the truth of God and turned off by evil. That's to be our mind, a mind that is turned on. A mind where we've put evil thoughts out. So a mind that is turned on by the truth of God and turned off by sin. A mind that is unleavened. That's to be our mind. We're to have a mind that is unleavened, a mind that is not carnal and fleshly. That's the mind that we're transferring into. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. It's a very encouraging scripture. I'll ask ourselves a couple questions after we read this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." That is the direction we're headed. That's the direction we're headed, brethren. That we'll be granted to sit with Christ, with God, on his throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So we're headed in that direction, aren't we? Let me ask you a question. Do we have a passion for this? Is that our passion in life, that we're going to be sitting with Christ on his throne? Does it fill our mind? Does it fill our mind, as David said in Psalm 119, that we reflect on, meditate on, think on it all the day long? Is that what drives us? Is that our passion in life, in this life? Prior to conversion, carnality motivated our thoughts, didn't it? What are we going to think about this week? What are we going to think about? What's going to be, what's on our mind? What's on our mind? Are we going to miss bread? Are we going to miss bread? Now, that's an analogy, and it's certainly something that, all of us enjoy, I'm sure. Bread, or many of us do. I know I do. But are we going to miss bread? Do we have a desire to eat things leavened? Do we have a desire for that? And I'm asking that more in spiritual terms than I am in physical terms, of course. Do we have a desire to eat things leavened? Does sin still have too much of an appeal? After we've been through the last couple of months of examination, of de-leavening, of unleavening, putting the leaven out, does sin still have too much of an appeal for us? We can ask ourselves that question. Isaiah chapter 55, back to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat." Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. So we're to eat what is good, aren't we? This week, we know that leavened products are not good. They're not for us to eat. And they're not good. Unleavened products are. We're to eat unleavened products, aren't we? We're to eat unleavened bread. Put that good in. We're to eat what is good. "And let your soul delight itself in abundance." Verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me." That's what needs, what's to be filling us, filling our minds. "Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and the sure mercies of David." So we're to eat what is good. Let's drop down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake His way. And that's what we've done, isn't it? We have forsaken our way. That's a part of conversion. It's part of being converted, is to forsake our ways. And the righteous man, and the unrighteous man, rather, his thoughts. His thoughts. We're to forsake unrighteous thoughts. To forsake those. No, I've emphasized that throughout here, but we can't overemphasize. We're to forsake unrighteous thoughts and backfill our minds with unleavened, righteous thoughts. We're to forsake unrighteous thoughts. We're not to be thinking unrighteously. We're to be thinking righteous. And Mr. Moore mentioned that in the opening prayer several times, that we're to be putting righteousness in. Mr. Guy mentioned it in the sermonette, that we're to be putting righteousness in, that our thinking process needs to be unleavened. We need to put unrighteousness into our thoughts and have righteous thought. I'm sorry, we need to have righteous, put unrighteousness out, as it says here in verse 7, and put righteous thoughts in. You know, make a commitment to tell God that we will not pursue unrighteous thoughts. We make that commitment that we will not pursue unrighteous thoughts. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, the book of 2 Chronicles, and chapter 28 addresses this. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. I'm sorry, I said 2 Chronicles, it's 1 Chronicles. I, like Mr. Guy, will tell you that when I looked at that scripture, I thought, oh no. I hope I wrote down the right one. I think I did. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. I did. It says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind." So we're to serve as Christ did, with a willing mind. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts." It's interesting, isn't it? That God knows the intent of our thoughts. And our thoughts need to be unleavened. Unleavened. "If you seek Him, He will be found by you." That's our thinking process. "He will be found by you, but if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever." You see, brethren, God knows what you're thinking. Now we know that. God knows what we're thinking. He knows when you're thinking leavened, and He knows when you're thinking unleavened. The question is, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? That becomes the question. Psalm 119 said, "Meditate, think on God's law all the day." And that was David speaking to us. Let's look at what Paul tells us to be thinking about. Of course, we know that we can't have a message on the subject of thinking and thoughts without turning to Philippians, can we? Wouldn't seem that we could. I'm sure we could, but Philippians chapter 2, let's look and see what Paul instructed us here. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start with in verse 4. We'll read several scriptures, several verses here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Let each of you look out not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others." Is that our thinking? It gets back to, you know, are we thinking selfishness or selflessness? Verse 5, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you." Let this be your thinking. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, we just went through and reflected on this in depth a couple of nights ago at the Passover, didn't we? When we took the Passover, we reflected on Christ's thinking in depth. You know, we reflected, perhaps read verse 8, where we read that being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself. We know that was Christ's thinking. And that's to be our mind. That's to be our thinking. Our mind needs to be a humble mind and an obedient. He became obedient, it says. Our mind needs to be a humble mind and an obedient mind. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says that he came not to be served, but to serve. And we participated in a foot washing ceremony, which is a lesson that we learn from that we learn to be humble and serve one another. And that was the mind of Christ. And as it says here in verse 8, he became obedient to the point of death. Now we can ask ourselves, is that our mind? What would it take for us to turn away? You know, if we were looking death in the face, what would our mind be? But he became obedient. That was his thinking. And in verse 5 it says, we are to have that mind, to let this mind be in you. We're to have that thinking process as well. We're to have that unleavened mind, the same mind that Christ did. Because he did this to the point of death. Philippians chapter 4 gives us some additional instruction on what we are to be thinking about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren," I'd like us to take that now and go to the end of the verse and see that it says, "Meditate on these things." "Finally, brethren," the King James Version there says, "think." Think on these things. Number one, whatsoever things are true. I'll give you some scriptures to write down with some of these as we go through them. John 17:17. "Your word is truth." This is what we're to be thinking on. God's word. That's the unleavened mind, the unleavened thinking. So John 17:17. "Your word is truth." "Whatsoever things are noble." Whatsoever things are noble, you might write down Psalm 111, verse 1 through 9. The Greek there means honorable. Honorable. Whatsoever things are honorable. As we go through these things, we'll see that not one of these things are critical in nature, negative in nature, They're positive thoughts. Thoughts that I'm sure are brought into the obedience of Christ. Whatsoever things are just. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 says, all His ways are justice. All His ways are justice. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Can we think on that? Whatsoever things are pure. Pure. 1 John 3:3. He, God, is pure. He, God, is pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, there are many lovely things that we can think about. You might write down Isaiah 52, verse 7. I'll quote that scripture. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. Again, it's a reflection on the loveliness and the beauty of God. How beautiful. Whatsoever things are of good report. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Whatsoever things are of good report. We think on good things, don't we? You know, how can we live the truth more completely? We might want to reflect on and think on that. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any virtue, the New Revised Standard Version there says goodness. If there be any virtue or goodness, anything praiseworthy. Psalm chapter 47 and verse 2 says, the Lord Most High is awesome. That's a powerful scripture, really. The Lord Most High is awesome. We reflect on and think about that and have that unleavened thought. Then we end the verse by saying, meditate. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are noble. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. These are unleavened thoughts, aren't they? They're unleavened thoughts. They put unleavened thoughts into our minds, don't they? So, brethren, here we are on this first day of Unleavened Bread, 2013. What direction are we headed in? What direction are we headed in? What's on our mind? Isaiah chapter 26, final scripture that we'll cover for the day. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 is a beautiful scripture. Beautiful verse. What's on our mind? What direction are we headed in? Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, you, referring to God, will keep Him in perfect peace. Him referring to us. You will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Brethren, we need to have an unleavened mind.